Morning, everybody. This is News Radio 94.9 890 KDXU. It's Wednesday and time for Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
Good morning, Andy. And man, it's a great day out there, isn't it? Weather's good.
Fall break is starting.
Fall break is starting. Oh, yeah. So it's going to be an exciting weekend.
Yeah.
But it's a good time to get outside and enjoy the weather a little bit. You know, even if it's just out on your front porch, it's a beautiful time of year here in southern Utah.
Anything fun and exciting happened for you, Andy, this week?
Let's see. I spent a lot of time in the hot tub last night. Does that count?
That's nice. I can't believe we weren't all invited.
Well, you're always invited. Okay. As long as there's not 10 or more of you, I guess, with the new restrictions.
Yeah, those new restrictions. You know, the whole COVID thing, we've gotten rid of all the color. We can't have color.
No colors. Well, we never got to purple.
Yeah, it's just not right. We've missed so much. And
it's shades of blue now. That's the color.
Well, yeah, it's a single color, kind of monotoned. So on the COVID good news side, if you could claim that there is any, because obviously infections are up. But in truth, in southern Utah, the COVID bad or the good news is that the bad news is really isn't that bad.
Well, let's be honest. We expected the infection rate to go up in the fall and winter.
That's flu season.
We've been talking about that from the beginning. This is a normal time of year for infection rate to go up.
Right. Everybody's, everybody who's ever weighed in on this has said, yeah, the real risk is that in the fall we're going to have, increase, and we want to maintain that increase as low as possible. So that's certainly not unreasonable to expect. Based upon this, if you're in Garfield County, you're probably surprised that you woke up in a dark blue category today. And to give you an idea of what that means is that Garfield has been averaging about one case per day, and now they're at a four. So... That's a huge increase, and don't get me wrong.
That's still a low number.
But it is a astronomical increase in infections, and so that's why the raise in rate. But when we're talking with the low numbers that we have in southern Utah, the bad news isn't as bad as we thought. So in Iron County, instead of two infections, we're at three now. Now, that's three tests, not three hospitalizations, right? So it's just three positive tests in Iron County. And in Washington County, we have 54, which is a big number compared to what we've had in the past. We were in the low teens, so this is a significant increase. But those 54 people who've tested are probably self-quarantining. So the likelihood that you have any chance of coming in contact with them at all is still really low.
Now, remember, flu season is always around the same time every year. We expected this. What's different this time? We have really stepped up the game with our hand sanitizing and our wiping things down and keeping things clean and wearing masks. So I would say the good news is we are more prepared as an entire community than we ever have been in the past.
And they're setting records, by the way, over there at the health department of giving out flu shots. So people get it.
Yeah.
Right.
So everybody's participating. We're doing what we can. We realize that there's a potential that we could be infected. Although, let's reiterate that the potential that we would have any significant damage is drastically low. You know, our recovery rate in southern Utah is 99.95% or 99.7%. So any other event that would happen, that would be a cheering of success, not a claim of catastrophic failure.
Remember, the reason we do COVID Good News is to remind everyone not to be driven by fear, but to be focused on those things that are positive in your life. It's important to remain positive, especially during a difficult time, because stresses lower our immune systems. What we put out there, we get back. So remember to remain positive, focus on the good, not the negative.
Right. And so, again, we want to make sure that everybody's washing their hands, using hand sanitizer, social distancing, and if you can't social distance, wear a mask. Those are the same things, and if we do that, we will come out ahead on
this. But loving life and finding things to be happy about.
Right.
Remember to laugh.
Yes, and one other COVID good news item is that if you do decide you need to get a test, it is much less uncomfortable than it was just a few weeks ago. The spit test, and they don't want you to spit into the container, but the saliva test is much more comfortable than the, what they call it, did they call it a bone scraping or a brain scraping?
Brain scrape, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, keep that in mind, too, that it's all getting better.
Right.
Okay?
That is the good news.
So, you know, we've had an opportunity over the last few weeks to really get out and start talking to people again. You know, the weather's changed and people have kind of overcome, we hope, some of that fear of seeing anybody. And so we've had some great conversations. But in these conversations, when we're talking about what palliative care can be and what we see as our vision for what we can accomplish here in Southern Utah, we still keep coming up against some myths, some people that didn't know the truth about some things, and they had made some preconceived concerns.
I just want to say, remember, helping you is our number one goal, keeping you informed and educating you on what resources are available and really what is new in Southern Utah, which is palliative care. And it is really taking a hold and starting to make an impact in this community. And we're excited to have been a part of that. It, you know, the founders of that.
Right. Getting that all rolling in Southern Utah so everybody has a better experience. And palliative care is not just related to the things that we do. Certainly there's palliative aspects to every part of your medical care. But today we want to kind of move on because we need to understand that things are completely different, you know, as we age. You know, in the medical side, you know, we handle a bone break differently for a 15-year-old than we do for an 85-year-old, right? It's a totally different issue. That's not the only thing that changes in medicine. Everything does. But for our elder community, our more mature people, there are a lot of other concerns. And we really want to cover some of those today, some of the financial concerns that that we have, because it's a whole new ball game when you get up in age. You know, when you're 30 and have a small family, you probably have, you know, your main concerns are, of course, being able to pay the bills every month and have a life insurance policy maybe to cover the kids' college education if by chance you can't actually be there for that. But when we get older, we just have more of those concerns in different ways. For instance, you know, when we're trying to manage our retirement, it's not can we pay the bills this month, but can we pay all the bills for every month for as many months as we have out of what we have? And so it's a bigger set of concerns.
Well, it's a lot more pressure because yeah. Your working days are primarily behind you. And so now you're looking at all your assets and your current role and position and saying, do we have enough? Have we made enough to go forward and take care of ourselves?
Right. And so those are the things that we kind of want to cover today and maybe take away some of the concerns. We know that a lot of the concern we have is based on fear, fear that we don't really know enough to make those good decisions. So those are the things we want to talk about. And Andy, I'd like you to pitch in here anytime you come up with a question as we go through this.
Let me start by saying that the reason we're talking about this topic, we chose this topic today, is this has been a common question over again. And while we believe that we have addressed it on the air, apparently we really haven't been specific enough to say that really, if you are Medicare eligible for hospice, it is free to you. So you don't have to have that concern. So when you call our office, it's not scary like, well, I like everything that you've talked about. It sounds really good. We desperately need help, but we can't afford to pay for it. You right. Don't have to pay for it.
And while we've said that over and over, I think a lot of people haven't gotten there. It's not that you need a special insurance policy. Now, on the elder care part of this, certainly there are people who have promoted long-term care insurance. That's not necessary for hospice. It may be useful if you had to spend time in a facility, you know, skilled nursing facility or adult care. But hopefully with our help, you may be able to stay at home and have a better outcome and a better life if we can bring care into the home instead of you having to go outside of it to get there.
And, of course, long-term chronic illness benefits by long-term elderly insurance.
Right.
But that is a crapshoot when you're younger of purchasing it or not. But here we are, seniors in this community, and we are here today. What can we do today? No more, you know, 30 years in front of us to work and establish this plan. So where are we today?
Well, I would like to say that, you know, a proper use of hospice and palliative care is better than free. Because while we normally in our medical care have deductibles and copays and prescription costs and things like that, if you qualify for the benefit of hospice, then all of that's covered. You have no deductibles, no copays, no prescription costs. If you need durable medical equipment, you know, a hospital bed or walkers or oxygen, that's all covered. Those are all things that people may not realize. And so if somebody's struggling financially, we want to be able to get in and help them. There are resources in addition to just Medicare that may be able to come to the table also. So if you're in a position where you may qualify for hospice and you also have some financial concerns about your life, then if we can come in and relieve some of the cost so that you have more of your own money to keep, possibly bring in other resources to reduce your costs even further, it's better than free for those people who qualify.
I don't think we've said it yet, so I'll just start here. If you let's start with, you don't know what you don't know. If you don't call our office, you won't know what services and benefits you're missing out on. Yes, we provide the nursing care and the medical equipment and the medical supplies and the supplies and prescription drugs and aids, physical therapy, social work, spiritual counseling, grief and loss counseling for your family. But do you realize that we offer such specialized care as a medical physician, literally overlooking your medical condition every 2 weeks? From the comfort of your home, your medical care and condition is being updated and changed every 2 weeks. So hospice and palliative care certainly is not about giving up. In fact, you have a much higher quality of medical care for as long as you're living. That's a beautiful, comforting feeling to know that a doctor is integrally involved in your condition and very intimately reviewing your medical changes every 2 weeks. That's incredible.
Yeah, if you imagine that maybe you have a schedule with your doctor where you're seeing him every 3 months, and that's the point where your doctor, where you show up at the office and they take your medical, condition.
Well, and
your
blood pressure. To interrupt, but that's why most seniors end up running to quick care or the emergency room, because they're only seeing their physician every 3 months and they have little concerns that pop up. So go on.
Right. So if you see them every 3 months and that's the one time that your medical record gets updated, that's not as consistent and high quality care as every 2 weeks. You're going to have your medical condition taken into account. There'll actually be a discussion about any changes that have happened so that we can stay on top of that and address them proactively. And the important thing is that we bring that care into your home so you're not having to try and get to the doctor and schedule when they're not wanting to see you.
And boy, as we age, I'm having things pop up daily, weekly. I need somebody to pay attention to me every 2 weeks.
So those are all the important things when it comes to hospice, and we again want to reiterate that cost is nothing for you. And if you have any questions about that, give us a call. We'll go into greater detail, but we'll move on.
Number, Richard?
Oh, well, the phone number is 435-477-6999.
How do you remember that, Andy?
That's an easy one. Left side, right side, right? 435 and then 477 on the left side and then 6999 on the right side.
That's right. It's a total of four buttons and a nice, easy, thing to remember. 477-6999. All right. So
don't forget. No obligation when you call. We'll answer any questions. Please reach out to us. We are your senior resource for information and resources that are available to you.
Right. And on the elder care side, we want to expand our conversation. We've talked a lot about our medical issues that affect the elder part of our community and how the care needs to be different. And we are starting this conversation about other areas that are at least as important. And we're going to talk about some financial issues. We talked briefly about the cost of good quality health care. If you qualify, there's no cost at all. There's no taking your house or anything like that. Those are the fear things that are put out there, and we want to eliminate any fear that people have about so many things. But we really want to start talking about some other aspects of this. And again, We hope to drive out the fear, and we're going to do that by shedding some light. To give you a kind of some background, in a prior life before I was involved in Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care, I did business consulting, working with business owners to help them avoid many of the financial pitfalls, taxes and liability, but structuring to provide them a way to be more successful. And certainly for a business owner, one of the things that always intersects with that is their own personal estates. And so we've always, you know, had these conversations with business owners, but we do it from a different perspective because, A, we're not trying to sell life insurance. We're not trying to promote you into buying a living trust or a will. We just talk frankly about what those really do and how to put them into use if you have them or whether they're useful at all. And so we really want to kind of start that conversation today. We're not going to be able to cover everything there's on the insurance side. I mean, there's certainly whole life and, you know, term life insurance policies, and those are different, and long-term care insurance. And there's just a huge list of things that can come up on the insurance side, and we may cover that in the future. Truth is, if you have any of those questions or you think those are things that the community needs to know, let us know that that's what you want to talk about, and we'll do that. What we really want to talk about is the trusts and wills today, and that's kind of where we're going to start with this. I'm sure that everybody has at least been invited to one of those coffee and donut shows or been given a dinner to sit and listen to somebody explain the glories that a living trust is.
Remember, he's not an insurance salesman.
Right. I'm not trying to promote you into this, but we are going to talk functionally about what they do and don't do. And so let's start the conversation with what most people would consider to be the core or the beginning of an estate plan, and that's a will. A testamentary will. There's a lot of words that we can use to talk about that. But I know that some people don't have a good understanding of what that can and can't do, so it adds to the anxiety about it. If you don't have a will, oh no, what happens? Or is my will up to date or things like that? So we really want to kind of go through this and talk about it. So on the will, we'll get to the trust in a minute. On a will, let me just say that a will is a list of suggestions to the probate court. What that means is that it's not a for sure thing. Now, I know that we've watched movies from the 1930s and 40s where, you know, they would sit in an attorney's office, dark room, and he'd read this will and everybody would be aghast at how things transpired. It's a probate court, and it's mostly an arm's length. You know, you never actually go into a courtroom, but it's all pleadings and submissions to a system. So the will is put out there for the probate to consider. Now, if you don't have a will, that's considered to be intestate, which is a legal word for don't have a will. Now, what does the probate do? What was the probate court do if you don't have a will? Well, they have a standard plan for how assets should be distributed. And I think you guys will be familiar with this. If you die without a will and you are married, all of your assets go to your spouse. Now, on the estate tax side, there's no estate tax going to the spouse. Okay. If you don't have a spouse, then it would normally go to your children, equally distributed. And if your plan was for your assets to go to your spouse and then go to your children, equally distributed, then the will is going to say exactly what the court expects, and that's how it's going to lay out. If you use a will and you had a different plan, maybe you wanted to have more of your assets go to some kids than others because they have a greater need or whatever your reason, and you submit that to the probate court, and there is no objection to it, then it'll probably go that way. But if somebody else objects to the will and says, no, that shouldn't be the case, then the probate court's going to hear that and may consider that argument and change what you had intended. So we don't think a will is the best tool if you really want to provide for what we will call specific distribution. Specific distribution, you make your list of assets and you make your list of names and you draw those lines, you say, that's where I want it to go. If you want to do that, then the will isn't a great place to do that. Now, a will does do one thing. And when I say it does one thing, a will is only a suggestion to the probate court, but it actually does make sure that one thing happens. And that would be providing for the care of minor children. If you have a minor child, you would be able to name the person that you want to oversee their life, and that would be supported. So a will has a place for some people, but it isn't necessarily the best solution going forward. So now let's talk briefly, and we can go into greater detail. Certainly give me a call if you have any of these questions. We are not promoting any of these things. We're just trying to give people a little more vision, kind of a backside view, taking away the smoke and mirrors and the spectacle of what it can do, and just talk about the functional part.
Can just help answers to all of your questions. We know that there are a lot of questions out there, and we can feel intimidated reaching out, or we don't know the questions to ask. So sometimes exploring what's available first puts you in a position to ask the correct questions so that you get the right answers for you. Without a sales pitch, we don't sell anything.
And hopefully if you don't have that fear, then you can move forward in a way that makes sense. If a will is appropriate or you want to do that, you don't need to have an attorney involved. There is somebody who needs to be the executor of the will.
Although you may choose to have an
attorney. Yeah, you can have an attorney involved if you
want. These are all part of the exploration of questions and what's right to you.
But you should do some research before you go to your attorney. Go ahead and read a few wills. You can probably find some on the internet, just Googling that, testamentary will, and you'll find some examples of that. If you had some family members or some friends that were willing to share, in fact, you might just get together as a small group and talk about this as a family issue. Bring together some examples so that you guys can understand what the intent is. Because the important thing about any document, legal document, written document, is that it's easy to understand and there aren't any questions left over at the end. So if those are the things we're trying to accomplish, and you bring together four examples of wills that you found on the internet, and as a family, parents and children, maybe some grandchildren, get them all involved in a meeting and just talk about what they think they can get out of that will. What do you understand from these documents? And then how do we write one that fits our circumstances? And it's important to understand that you are the best person to be your own legal advocate, to be your own person that helps write this. So if you could come up with the things that you understood were important and you took that list to to your attorney, then your attorney would be better prepared to provide a document that would be relevant to you, instead of just, as attorneys do, pull up a standard boilerplate document and fill some stuff out. You can be an integral part of developing something that's going to be more useful for you. So we don't have enough time to really go into the trust side of this, so we're just going to finalize on the will. And next week, we'll talk about living trust, and there's a lot of different names for them, inter vivos trust, family trust. And there are some things that don't fit into that category, which we won't be talking about next time. But if you have an advanced plan for estates where you're using some type of crippled trust or a irrevocable trust, things like that, then that'll be another conversation later. But there's going to be great information to talk about next week on living trust. We hope we can upgrade everybody's understanding.
In the meantime, we do invite you to give us a call at our office, 435-477-6999. Again, our telephone number at Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care, 435-477-6999. We love to answer your questions and explore opportunities and resources available to you. Again, we are not salespeople. We have nothing to sell to you. If you are calling about our hospice and palliative program and you are hospice Medicare eligible, it is completely free to you. So call and find out more about it. Find out what options are available to you. I do want to close quickly and saying we've recently been introduced to somebody that is doing a seminar tomorrow afternoon. Now, it's Medicare's open enrollment. She will answer all of your questions and help you find the right Medicare program for you. It could save you hundreds, even thousands of dollars. Call us at our office. We will give you that information. 435-477-6999.